Well, you're starting a new season with the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra coming to Louisville. Tell us about this incarnation of the group.
We have members with different tenures, like the trumpet section, Marcus and I, and Ryan has been 20 years. We played together, but now we have Greg Gisbert. Ryan has to have rotator cuff surgery, so he's not on the tour. And Greg Gisbert is playing lead trumpet. The saxophone section, Joe Templey, is not with us on this tour. He was our longest member, 26 years. But they've been together a lot of 17, 20 years.
These are tried and true folks that you've been on tour with.
Yeah, they're unbelievable. I always say it's like a blessing for me in this part of my life to play with musicians of this caliber. And even our younger members, Carlos, Ali, they're in their mid-30s now. They were always a part of the band since they were teenagers, always around playing, subbing. And Paul Nedzella is our youngest member now. I think he's maybe just turned 30. He's playing baritone saxophone. And there's the versatility, the range, the intelligence of the musicians we have. 10 of them are arrangers. I don't think there's ever been a band with this type of capability. It's the type of firepower that it has.
Yeah.
People play many different styles. They write all kinds of music, from Ted Nash's music, Victor Goins has pieces, Vincent Gardner. Ali, it doesn't matter really where we turn. We have, and they're very dedicated in terms of just the desire to work and be on a very high level all the time. Rehearsing, going overtime, making sure that stuff is a certain way, and then concentration on the gig and being for real about playing, being able to discuss problems that we have in terms of how we want to play the music better. Because we have so many arrangers that we're used to working out each other's music, so it gives us a certain type of musical closeness.
So what kind of material are you performing this season?
In Louisville, we're going to play the music of Monk, and we're going to do the music of Blakey and our own music. Mm-hmm. So we have Hank's Symphony is a great arrangement that Ted Nash did, of Hank Mobley piece for our Blakey. I did a couple of arrangements of one song called Free For All. I don't know for sure that we take it from different selections. Sherman did a new arrangement of Along Came Betty. We have arrangements of the original piece I did called Boo's Mood. I don't know whether we'll play that one. But Monk's music, we have good arrangements of Skippy. Unusual song, it's not heard that much, very difficult to play. Ugly Beauty, the saxophone section really plays. Kind of also unusual arrangement. I did that one. Ted did Skippy. Sherman did a great arrangement of We See. Chris Crenshaw is our fantastic young trombone player. We have his perfect pitch and perfect time. He's like a metronome. If you say 100 and he counts 100, the metronome will be exactly where he is.
Wow.
He did a great arrangement of Epistrophe. We have, of our original music, Ted Nash, Presidential Suite, Victor, arrangements. A new piece I just did with Pedrito Martinez and Carlos about the Cuban, the Orishas, the Santeria religion. Carlos has a piece called 2/3 Adventure, which was written for the residency we did in Cuba. We have a lot of music.
So you kind of keep it, you mix it up as the tour goes on.
Yeah, the last tour we went on, we played a different piece of music almost every night. We played like 168 tunes.
Wow.
So it's hard to keep, to challenge the band. I have to keep doing different things, but they want to do it too. I mean, because we're all writing for the band, it creates a different dynamic in terms of the ownership of the music. It's not just one person's music, and it's more of what we are, which is an institution. We're the orchestra that comes from an institution less than we are a person's orchestra.
Yeah, but I was going to say, for those who may not know, Jazz at Lincoln Center is not just Jazz at Lincoln Center or a touring orchestra. It's an institution that really covers a lot of areas and a lot of events, right?
Right. We had 3,000, close to 3,000 education events last year. We have 12 education programs. We have a hall, we call it the House of Swing, Frederick P. Rose Hall, 59th Street. We have tremendous broadcast capability. We have clubs in Doha, and we're getting ready to open clubs in Dubai and Shanghai. We are advocates for the music. We have all kind of advocacy programs and things to invite people into the experience of the music.
I know education outreach is a huge part of your work. Are you finding that young people are enthusiastic about jazz and class? I know you're a big classical guy, too, about jazz and classical music that you hope they would be?
Young people are always enthusiastic if you teach them and you don't exploit them. Mm-hmm. But they're enthusiastic about being exploited, too. So, young people are enthusiastic. The world that our kids inherit is the same as what we inherited. You know, what our parents lay out for us or what our culture lays out for us, we'll function in the context of it. Mm-hmm. My mama took me to classical music and jazz and things I didn't necessarily like when I was younger, but she set a horizon for me. Like, okay, you can, not that she even necessarily liked it, but she aspired to a higher thing for me. So I responded to that. Not all kids will respond to it, but she made it available to me. When kids only have products available to them, they'll be enthusiastic about those products. Because by and large, the products that are sold to them use their sexuality as a way to get them involved in it. I mean, 12, 13-year-old can't really defend themselves against that.
Yeah.
And in that, because music is the carrier of a lot of that, people who are involved with the music and the musical arts have a hard time. Mm-hmm. And there's just a reality of the marketplace that you have to face. That once it's connected to the sexual exploitation of teenagers, and once that became fair game, you know, you had to redouble your education efforts, and you just have a much steeper climb. And I don't see us coming out of that anytime soon. Eventually we will. I don't know if I will be alive when that happens, but
right.
I think that we have to always prepare for the future. You know, we none of us can predict the future, but we all are dedicated to creating a future we can envision.
Do you have any special connection with Louisville or Kentucky, friends here?
Yeah, all kinds of friends. My man Andre Guess, who was worked at Jazz Lincoln Center for years and was our executive producer, and I'm going to see him there. And you know, with Jamie Abesall being there, and the University of Louisville, everything that's connected to jazz is there. My little brother Delphio attended school there, so I have a lot of connection to Louisville. A lot of soulful concerts there. Garth Fagan, we did. I remember years ago we did Griot New York there. That was a great concert in Louisville.
What else do you have going on? You got any recordings or collaborations in the works?
Yeah, we have about 80 recordings that we're getting ready to put out Jazz Lincoln Center archive.
Wow.
We're starting with a double record from Cuba, and then we have a Christmas record we're going to release, and then this year we're going to put out Ornette Coleman, Count and the Duke, and Chick Corea. So we're starting to put out our archive, which is massive.
Do you still like touring, being on the road?
Yeah, I love to play for people. I grew up doing it, so it's. I mean, I went on the road with Art Blakey when I was 18, and I had my own band when I was 20, and I kind of just constantly toured until I was 34, 35, all the time. Then we Jazz Lincoln Center started to pick up, so the touring became a little less. But yeah, I love doing it. I mean, it's really what I've done.
Well, Wynton Marsalis and the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra will perform October 1st. It's Wednesday at the Kentucky Center for the Performing Arts. Mr. Marsalis will also take part in the Idea Festival at 1:30 Wednesday. He'll talk about the irreplaceable role of art and creativity in America. Wynton Marsalis, thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to meeting you.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure.